kindness is the world's greatest tool to create balance, harmony, and abundance. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. Kindness is the world's greatest tool to create balance, harmony, and abundance. You might ask, why is kindness the world's greatest tool to create harmony, balance, and abundance? Harmony, balance, and abundance are concomitant, the same as, similar to, responsive about, kindness. If a dictator is cruel, there's no place in his world for kindness, balance, harmony, and abundance. If a benign dictator or benign sovereign, you might say, someone interested in the people, is interested in the people, then yes, his interest, his kindness, results in balance, harmony, and abundance. You can look at a nation. You look at the nation of Germany, and Germany had itself an unkind dictator, a dictator who said his desire for having Germany be one of the major powers of the world in his manner was correct. His desire to do this was correct. And in the process, the German people suffered greatly. The German people didn't have food, they didn't have things, but they were willing to give it up for the fatherland. They were willing to give it up for what they felt that their emperor, their dictator, their chef was all about, you know, the Führer, that whatever he wanted was for the good of the country, so therefore they're going to give it up. Well, this is true in any nation. You get that dictatorial power of any nation, whether it's England or France or Germany or America or any country at all, and they say, it's for the good of the country that we go to battle. It's for the good of the country that you don't eat butter anymore. It's for the good of the country that you give up your tires and you give up your gas and your cars and you don't drive around. It's for the good of the country. It's for the good of the country that we are at war and that we are going out and doing these things. And you see, they get that clarion call going so strongly that people little by little believe it. And they believe it. They believe it's good for their country. They believe it, and they're willing to give up and sacrifice for their country. And they don't really know that it's just the feelings, the imagination, the desires of the people in power who want more power, more power, more power. And whereas if the governments of the world were going around helping other nations to experience peace by sending them ambassadors, sending them people who, like the Peace Corps, to show them ways of improving their world, you know. I mean, here in America, we have enough poor people, enough people who could be shown better ways if we did. But the thing is, you see, you cannot force a people against their will. And this is where the big difficulty comes in. The big difficulty comes, America has a lot of poor people who want to be poor, because they find it's easier to be on welfare than it is to go to work, because they earn more money. They earn more money. And women find it easier. Now, I'm talking about the poor people that we want to help, these people that we think are needing help. And these women who have 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 babies and no husband, you know, hey, they got to stop that. That because the nation is not responsible for taking care of their children. You got to sort of short circuit that sort of activity. Now, how you go about it is another story, but you got to stop that. It should be a crime to have children without being married, so you don't have someone to take care of it, unless you yourself are capable of supporting that sort of thing. I mean, women can make good money too. But it should be a crime for men to go around impregnating women and leaving them to take care of for themselves. But you see, we don't make it bad. we make crimes other things which are crimes too, and that's good. But that should be something that is a no-no. When Rex steals a napkin from the table here because he wants to get attention, no, no, no. And then he rips it to shreds and he says, ha ha, see what I do. And he's just playing. He's not being mean and hateful. He's just playing. He wants to get attention. He wants to play. And that's a no-no way of playing. You see, and we have to teach women, it's a no-no way of playing to have children out of wedlock unless they are really planning on having children and taking care of them. And if they can maintain a household and they can maintain the ability to feed these kids, then have them. But otherwise, no. But you see, now that's just one area. Now another area. Many times people say, well, why work when we got enough to live on, you know? We don't need a lot. And truly, you don't need a lot to live on. You don't. And their health is taken care of by the state or the county or the nation, you know? Whatever needs they have are taken care of. And if they're on a starvation diet, the government says, you can't starve, we got to give you some money. Well, hey, why don't you show them how to work, teach them how to take whatever talents they have and use them. Now, you see, that's the Peace Corps at work. That's the peace element at work. That's the if in every nation they would take care of their own impoverished, if they would take care of their own people who are having an idea about life. You see, there's a lack of respect for living in that sort of thing. And we cannot teach that, but we can teach a respect for yourself. You see, once you like yourself, and it always comes back to that, doesn't it? Once you like yourself, then you like your world. And why is it that some people just are so motivated to work, 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 they're workaholics? And other people are motivated to couch potato, couch potato, couch potato. And they work too, you know. And then some only couch potato, you know. And hey, that's okay. That's okay if you can afford it. If you have enough income to provide you to do that. But who wants to live their life as a couch potato, you know. As nothing, having no more desire than to sit and watch television all day. Or read sob stories in the books all day and stuff like that, as has been in many, many places now. The blacks were here under slavery, and it was not a nice thing. And that was changed. And then the blacks wanted to have freedom to do things. And the people and the government just sat on them, wouldn't let them do it, because they hadn't seen them be efficient and effective. And so the black says, we want to be able to be just like any other people, because they are like any other people, you know. And so they fought for their freedom. It's just like these stupid women in the world. You know, women's lib, how long did that take to come about? My goodness sakes, and they're still not even out. The women are still pregnant and barefoot at home, you know. And the blacks, they didn't get out from under that burden or that pressure for a long time. And then Martin Luther King, that terrible, terrible, terrible guy, came along and opened up the door, and all of a sudden, wow, what a great guy. And when he did his things and he opened up the door for the blacks to take responsibility for themselves, the government and everybody was saying, I don't know about that, I don't know about that. Now we think Martin Luther King is the greatest guy that ever was. He's like a Jesus Christ, you know, fantastic. And he was, and he is. But you see, what he did, he demanded that the people be allowed to find themselves. And they did. And some rose into seats of government. Some rose into high industry. Some are, well, they're always, they're on a par, I'd say, for every 10 blacks and every 10 other colors in the world. the blacks maybe have the majority of the better abilities, you know. And you say, oh, Herb, not really. Well, yeah, just take all the other nations of the world. Take them all. Take them all, the Polynesians, the Asians, the Africans, that's the blacks, and the South Americans, and whatever country you want to take, even America. We think America is so great, but if we were to add up the people in America and then look at the percent of people in America who are the minimum wage level of living, there's a lot of them. There are a lot of them. Like Abraham Lincoln said, God must have loved the poor people who made so many of them, you know. And it's an interesting thing. And we do not stop and take that in consideration. Now, kindness is the world's greatest tool to create balance, harmony, and abundance. So we do not do the poor people a kindness, including ourselves when we're down, by giving them everything. We do the poor people a kindness by showing them how to take the talents that they have and use it to be responsible for themselves. Because this is a world of individual beings being responsible for themselves. This is a world of individual beings knowing who and what they are and living it to the fullest. Now, it is so true that in this world, when people don't know how to do anything, they work poorly. Now, I just like to point to the poor Mexicans. The poor Mexicans, they have nothing in Mexico. Their money doesn't mean a thing to them. They don't have jobs that pay their family enough. They subsist, but only. And so then they come across the border. And they come across the border and take the menial jobs that most white people or other type of colors, nation people, don't want. The Hispanics, I mean Koreans, the Chinese, the Japanese, the Germans, who name them all. And they don't want those jobs. They don't want those jobs. A few do, but most don't. Because that's backbreaking, bending work, you know, working in whatever they're doing out in the fields and veggies and things like that. And so they go to work and they earn minimum wage. Minimum wage. You know, that's just something, $7 an hour, $6.75, $7, something like that. And, hey, that's not much at all. Now, those people not only earn minimum wage, but they take that minimum wage and they live here comfortably. Many of them even get a car. They live here, but they send the majority of their money back to Mexico to their families. So their families can live like kings on this amount of money, because this money there is wonderful. If you were to retire in Mexico with your retirement salary, you could live like a king, you know, because their cost of living is totally different. And their needs and desires are totally different too. So, kindness. What is the kindness that we do to the world? What is the kindness? Is it a kindness to teach people to beg and to want, to teach people to be on welfare, to teach people to be on welfare as far as health care goes too, you know? Because if you go to any hospital or any center of help, the majority of the people there are poor people, the majority. The minority of the people might be able to afford it, or might have their insurance policies afforded or whatever like that, but they're a minority. They're really the smallest number of people. Now, our kindness is not teaching people that they need the government to help them. In fact, our idea of going to the government for our roads and highways and streets and all these things is fantastic, but it should be a organized center to accomplish these things, not an organized center that is in so many different areas, because we need to have a group planning for sewers, for water pipes, for systems, for electricity, for gas. We need to have a group planning for hospitals and schools and education and things like that. But you see, we have made a bureaucracy out of these things instead of making it for that purpose alone. When some nonprofit corporation says, like the Red Cross, The Red Cross receives $100. Of that $100, maybe about $2 go to pay for the operation of the program that they have, okay? And all the rest of it goes for administration. Well, now that's far too much administration cost, you know? Far too much. If the president can hire the top people, the top thinkers of the world at $1 a year as his advisor, why can't we hire people of that nature to look at these world projects at $1 a year, you know? They've earned all their money from other corporations. They're billionaires and they don't really need it, but they got a brain. Oh my, they're good thinkers, you know, they really have a good head on their shoulders, and we could use them, you know? So on the board of directors of Red Cross and all these things are these high executives and high people, but they're not guiding it. They're merely lending their name to it to give credence to the organization rather than lending their brilliance to the organization, you know. And they just hire some administrator to run it and to do these things. And, of course, the administrator is going to hire people to do what he has to do. And then they're going to hire people to do what they have to do. And pretty soon, by the time you get down to the gift that goes to the people, there's very little there. When there's ever a national disaster, the Red Cross has to ask for donations, you know? And it is loaded. And many others, many other organizations, the same thing. And the Salvation Army, where does all that money go that they get for the clothing and things that are given to them that they sell, you know? And, well, we never hear much about their contributions to things, but I'm sure they do a lot of good things. I'm sure these nonprofit corporations that are charity organizations do a lot of good things, but you see, we don't really know about it. We don't, because the newspapers only talk about the negative things. They don't talk about the positive things. And how wonderful if they did. And if they talked about the positive things, then who would read it? You know. So happiness, yes, happiness, happiness. Kindness is the world's greatest tool to create balance, harmony, and abundance. I've sort of given a diatribe here this morning, but I think you understand what I'm saying. I'm saying that if we deal with everyone with kindness, and if everyone deals with themselves with kindness, instead of being a beggar, they will go out and be a producer and a happy person dependent upon themselves. Dependent upon themselves. Yes. You, be that kind person dependent upon yourself. And always pay your way in life. And if you don't pay your way in life, then you're not going to like yourself. You won't. You'll always think, what else can I get for nothing? What else can I get for nothing? And you've got so much talent to pay your way that if you start paying your way, then your choice of things that you get are not what you can get for nothing, but what you can get that you want. So think on these things. I know you do. And have a lovely, wonderful day. And know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
Love you.